Hello everyone, thank you so much for joining this space, which is really about our reaction to episode 7 to 9 of, you know, The Wife, which is very, very loosely based on the Hlomo book series. My name is Lelo and I'll be your host, but this space is really about you guys and your thoughts on the show. I want to hear what you are loving, the highlights, your favorite scenes, who's killing it for you on the show. Basically goes about The Wife this week. And I say anything goes cautiously because what we have already established, hopefully we won't have to, you know, repeat again this week, is that for us to truly, truly enjoy the show, we have to try and put aside everything we have read in the books and pray that it's still, you know, all makes sense. So I say that with a tongue-in-cheek what. So I invite you guys, those of you with views, to please put up your hand so I can call you up to the stage to have your say. And if you prefer not to speak, you can tweet me your thoughts and I will share your tweet in the space for everyone that's in here to read. Where am I? Sorry, I got distracted because I'm trying to add people and talk at the same time. So my usual co-host, Katie, is still having technical issues. She is in the space, but she's going to join as a speaker because technology is just not on her side. But we have Kiahi, we have Neo, and hopefully Paris is also on the space. Those are our regulars, and I've invited invitations for them to co-host with me this week, and hopefully for as long as they're space continues, and we don't know how long it's going to continue because judging from what I saw, I guess so. So to kick things off, guys, I'm just going to say I'm having a really tough time with how some parts of the show are unfolding, but I would really just like to give a mega shout out to the actors on the show. I feel like they will be the reason I continue watching because I want them to get all the love. I want them to get all the attention, all the success, because they really, really, really put in the work in terms of performances. So I'm going to stop over here and hand over to my co-host, and I'm going to start with Neo. Hello, Neo. Welcome. I would love to hear your thoughts.
Hello, everyone. Okay, look, before I actually share my thoughts, I'm wondering from everybody that's been watching. I've read the book, so I feel like there's an advantage and a disadvantage in terms of how I am watching the series. So I'm wondering for the guys that haven't read the book, are they following? Because I guess that, you know, in terms of these past episodes, I did feel like there was... the thread wasn't quite there, and I feel like I was able to almost piece the pieces together because I've read the book. So I guess that's one of the questions I just want to ask everyone that is on the call, just to validate what I'm feeling, because I might be seeing my own things. Are they following the story if they haven't read the book?
So now I had a conversation earlier today with a friend of mine, a guy actually who's he obviously has not read the books, and I asked him what he thinks of the show because he told me he was watching, and he says he's loving it. He's enjoying that it's fast paced, and that it doesn't feel like a telenovela and they're not dragging the stories and so on. So I guess for some of them, I guess hopefully I'm also hoping that we will hear from, you know, more of the people that haven't read the books in terms of how they are finding the episodes. And also, guys, can we ban the word book? Can we ban the word book in the space? But we'll ban it after people answer Neo's questions. We'll ban it after people answer your question, Neo. So we'll see who else raises their hands to speak. But for now, let me also welcome Keys. Do I call you Keys, co-host? Hello.
Yo, Lelo, unjumpi seri tsa khale and call me Kiahi. Like, you know, I'll try to be low-key. but I am 100% with you in terms of, like, banning the word book, right? So I just want to say before everybody joins, like, so I watched the first batch of the three episodes, the first batch, I was excited, right? You know, my excitement, you know, these books that we love have been turned into a telenovela. And then I watched the second batch of the three episodes and it was kind of like, nah, you know. And then this batch of three episodes has absolutely been my favorite. But I will say though, before we, I'm in full agreement with you that we need to ban the word book. But in the book, they said in the book, no. And I'm pleasantly surprised. And I love how I need them to like veer as far away from the book as they possibly can, because the thing about the book is that like that's the arc, right? So that's the arc, that's the template. And the template is that we have these eight brothers and this one woman that is centered around these eight brothers. That's the template. But the thing about the template that is that it can be customized. And I want them to keep doing that. I want them to keep shocking us. Like, you know, I'm enjoying Mandisa. I'm enjoying things that are not in the quote-unquote book. And I need them to keep doing that. And for me, this three sets of episodes was my favorite because they really veered far from the book. The conflict between Mkhele and Kawe about Hlomo is a dynamic we don't know. Mandisa's child being Ngobas is something we don't know. So I hope they keep doing that.
Hello guys, but Keith, are you saying you enjoyed seeing Kawe? Keith, are you saying you enjoyed seeing Kawe look so stupid and childish and petty? It hurt me so much. I was hoping to have a crush on the guy. Yo,
no!
It hurt me.
It only hurts you because you know Kawe's story. You know Kawe. That's why it hurts you, because you are so invested in the books, right? So that's the only reason why it hurts you when he says, even that I caught her, like, you know, Gulayena, you know, and Nongenyazi. Like, that only hurts you because you know Kawe and you know Kawe's story. That's the only reason it hurts you. But I want them to do that. I want them to defy the book. We have the arc, which is the eight brothers. They are weird codependency towards each other. And then this woman in the middle of them. That's it. That's the arc. Everything else is a moving part. And I want them to keep doing that. I want them to keep moving those parts to surprise even us, those who read those books.
It takes real maturity to want that, because some of us are really, really struggling. But I hear you. I guess it's the only way to truly enjoy the series for what it is, to just forget about the B word. I think we're going to call it the B word. Okay, let me go to Babalwa. Hi, Babalwa, welcome. Okay, maybe Babalwa is still struggling. Does that okay?
Oh, hi, everyone. I hope you can hear me. We just had load shedding, but I hope you can hear me. You know, I haven't read, you burned a book here. You burned a, and I want to say, I haven't read the pages. You said you mustn't say book. I haven't read the pages. I didn't know about them at all. So I only knew 3 days before it was the first three episodes. And in a way, I think I'm thankful I don't know the book, because the readers really struggle. They really struggle. The changes are so difficult for them. But I remember the first three episodes, I loved Mkhele. I was in love. I watched it in the morning, watched it 4 times straight. I loved Mkhele. Yes, Bonko is a good actor. Like, he doesn't have to say his emotions. They show up. His jealousy, anger, love, Uba lost, Jay, that thing, it just shows up. He's just so good. I remember after the first three episodes, I actually told my husband, if I met Mkhele before you, I was going to marry Mkhele. Well, I was so jealous and went and watched the first three episodes out of jealousy. Mkhele would know this guy, unama red flag. I didn't see them at that time. And then the second batch of three episodes, I started seeing the red flags. No, man, this is not love. This is not love. There's some possessiveness. And now, finally, we see, okay, this is what is happening. You know, also the scene, Manlena, yo, where he beats up Ulo Ushomo, it is so sad. You know, I remember, you know, in my personal life, my personal space, I've never experienced the abuse. My family, me, myself, nothing. But it triggered a memory. 30 something years ago, I was in preschool, that age. When, especially when Ushomo was apologizing, because she started by saying, When's I'm Kelly? And then what? Nyakolis. It triggered a memory, like our neighbor. I remember, like, Nikumbule so clearly, like, I remember coming back from preschool. Ni taller people just surrounding our neighbor, like in Jeguna that to Makelo and Akashela, Iwife, Yakina Leon Lele. And you know what? These things, good sis born, and then have these discussions. It's very important. It's very important because these things still do happen. There are preschool kids who experience, who are in homes like that today, like they experience parents fighting today, every week. And I hope these conversations, these different spaces, I remember I was on a space just now and I saw an organization helping, people who are abused. I didn't know about it. And that organization is just down the street. So I was just, we need more of these conversations to kind of help, because the whole day I was thinking of my neighbor's kids and how they turned out. They are so violent. Both the girls and the boy, they are so violent. One was killed, Alwa. The other one is in jail serving a life sentence. The girls are violent. All their kids are violent. Like, that thing, Ibalima, they're so deep. So I'm so glad we're having this conversation. It's a show, but it says a good thing. We must look back and say, no. If this happens, I can pick up phone this organization. Hey, so-and-so. When they got so, because sometimes the police do not help. But the show, Jayona, I feel like it's too fast, because I remember there was a scene whereby the kids were calling Ushom, Uma. When did this bonding happen? Ushom seka choga ma apron, naya tanda ku shadisa. I was so shocked to usandila gam lobo langa. Seka funa all these things, unayupi zingotu, ingotu seka kupunga kipanga izuga. Like, you know, it was so fast, but I'm glad, I'm enjoying it. I think if I've read the book, things one of my problems are running, but thank you.
Thank you, Ndozake, for that. That was amazing. That was amazing. I agree with you. When did the bonding happen? And I do agree with you about, you know, the impact of kids seeing all these things and what it does to them in the long term. I have a lot to say about everything that happened, but I'm going to go to Shodi. Would love to hear from you. Shodi? All right. Babalwa, are you back?
Yes, I am back. After... Susie just spoke before me, sorry, I didn't get your name. It actually got a bit hectic and heavy. Just to reflect on this week, I really enjoyed the production, I must be honest. And before I actually get there, so I am forcing my sister-in-law to watch. And she is enjoying it. I think you asked, it was Neo that was asking, you know, what is the perspective from someone that hasn't read the book. She's genuinely enjoying it. She hates Ushomo. And I don't know why. I'm just like, you just need to read the book. I think it's obviously from seeing the Ushis that spoke as well before me, is just speaking about the apron. And it actually made me so upset, because the timelines are cut so short that people won't understand that it wasn't like the next day she just started wearing the apron. Like, their relationship developed over time, right? So, I mean, but now obviously because it's a series and it's inspired by, like, things are cut much shorter. I think as much as we said we need to forget the book, but I mean, for us, it gives us a greater perspective, because actually the timelines are so much longer than it is there. So seeing her in that apron, we understand. But actually, it took time for her to get there. It wasn't just overnight that she started working. I think she was also, my sister-in-law was like, "Aibo, seke faka abantwana esikolweni." You know, she's taking kids to school. Whereas it was like, you know, she spent a whole weekend with those kids. Like, in the book, it gives you so much more perspective. So I think as much as people are like, yes, Nati, I think last week we spoke a lot about we need to forget the book. But it gave us so, it gives me so much more perspective that actually, no, it didn't happen this quick. Everything there didn't happen this quick. So actually, Kemu is not trash. Like, all right. and then these past three episodes, I must say, for me, having read the book gave me such a greater perspective on Omandisa. I think Keith just mentioned it now as well. You know, I misunderstood Omandisa. In fact, in the book, like, she was just always this girl that's just always, you know, there causing nonsense. But I think Zikona does it so well. Guys, Umandisa Gumandisa, like, Zikona kills it. I don't think anyone else could have been Umandisa. I mean, obviously, the part where, you know, now she's forcing Lobola, I mean, I was just like, okay, I don't understand what's going on, but inspired by... So we need to come back to the inspiration. So, and they have a kid and, you know, one thing I must be honest, like, you know, it just upsets me. It's just how the kids are introduced. We're not introduced to them in a great way. Whereas I think in the book we were introduced and people will get, I think, a greater perspective. I think this is the first time, what, episode 7 that they were introduced. It is Ngosinathi's kids, yes, the eldest brother's kids, are only introduced now, and already they're being introduced by her taking to school, and I just want the guys that haven't read the book, like, I mean, it just takes time, so it wasn't her just as saga, you know, trying to get kids to boarding school. So I think there a bit it might lose people, but in essence, I think it's great, absolutely right, we need to speak about, you know, the abuse of, in fact, like I said, my sister-in-law is watching with me, and the abusive part. Uti, how do you guys love this relationship? And I'm just like, I absolutely agree. It's actually, because remember, you have to read it word for word. In fact, they didn't even express it the way that it was in the book. And it does still hurt. It is, and I'm not proud of. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Maybe try and wrap up. Your sound is not so great, hey?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, shucks. But yes, I think I'm done. I think I'm done. I think those are just my thoughts in a nutshell.
Okay, thank you so
much. Sorry about my sound.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Don't worry. Thanks for the contribution. I definitely agree with you in terms of how the kids were introduced. And I mean, for the longest time, until the conversation that Hlomo and Mkhale had about the kids, you wouldn't know whose kids those are. And it was just very confusing. I'm going to go to Kolani. Hello, Kolani. Welcome. Are you loving the show?
Hi, thank you. Well, the show, ne? Wow, I must say, I haven't read the book, but based on what I'm seeing, I'm really looking forward to just getting myself the copies of the ones that are available. I'm not sure how long the series is going to last, but based on what I'm seeing so far, I think we're in for a ride, you know, for us that are just, you know, hopping onto it right now. So, yeah, that's my thought for now. But absolutely
and,
loving it.
And Kolani, what is there anyone that stands out particularly, like in the actors, the cast?
I think Nkosana is standing out for me. The other brother, is it the one who got married on the last episode or paid damages. I think it's interesting and yeah, in terms of character wise, but I'm also interested in seeing how the relationship between the two brothers who are love interest to Uhlomo is going to turn out. So, yeah.
And okay, all right, cool. Thank you so much, Tolani. Neo, let me come to you. I don't know if you have any additional thoughts after all the speakers.
No, I do. I just wanted to make sure that everybody was on the same page. But yeah, we are leaving the B word for now. I just wanted to add to what Keith said about, you know, I think, you know, Lelo, I'm on your side. The cover storyline, yeah, no. Uncle Happy about how he's being portrayed. But, you know, he is literally, oh gosh. Yeah.
Like
this, guys. But anyway, we move right along. We hope it improves as time goes. Because for now, I'm not enjoying that. But look, I think, you know, these episodes, as usual, I think Umandisa and Nongoba were standout characters. I hear Kolani saying he was getting married. I was also confused by that. But at the same time, it's a confusing storyline, and I hope they build on it, because, I mean, Mandisa even dressed herself in Makoti attire. Nobody dressed her. So that whole story was, I guess, in true Mandisa fashion, as the character has been introduced so far. But I guess, yeah, for these, yeah, the 7 to 9 episodes, I think the acting is still the way it should be. The actors are definitely bringing what they need to bring to the story. Mkele, yeah, I don't hate him yet. And yeah, I know there's a conflict, but I don't hate him yet. But I will say that how they are building his character with this, something as simple as he kisses Hlomo with his eyes open. I mean, that is some psychotic behavior. And I think, you know, from there, we should see with that access a bit. But I do love how they're expanding that character the way that they are. I'm really enjoying seeing how he gets into that, because I think, you know, when you look at the storyline, it's easy to just look at the love story, but I think his mannerisms and how he just interacts with Kawe, how he interacts with Hlomo is, yeah, I'm interested to see how they're going to expand this and how we are going to see this poster that's all around where they eventually do get married after all of this that's happened. So
imagine. Yeah. People are busy canceling Umkhele, but they are looking at the wedding photos, so I don't know.
Yeah, but, so, yeah, I guess minus saying the B word, I'm very interested to see how they're actually going to build on that. How do we get to, yeah, the wife? How do we get to that with everything that's happened?
Yeah, you know what you said about Umkhele kissing Hlomo with his eyes open? I saw that, and I'm like, is this Bonko, or is this... No, do you mind muting yourself? All right, thank you. Yeah, I was like, is it Bonko or is it intentional? Lubuti, you know, he must kiss with his eyes open. And now that you mention it, it's part of this character, you know, building. That makes perfect sense. Lubuti, this guy is just evil, man. The way he walked into that kitchen and how he was looking at his own brother. The brother that we expect which he's going to be having like a strong bond. I was like, I hated him. I don't want to like, oh, I've got Okawe and I, man. He took too long to get the point. Anyway, let me come to Keys before I give Fudi, Twabela, and Zama an opportunity to speak. Keys?
And this is so hilarious. Okay, so I have thought about, mind you, I hadn't noticed that Bonko or Mkhele kisses with his eyes open, right? I had never noticed that until somebody mentioned it, right? And then, okay, fine. It was not the weirdest thing to me because I know somebody that kisses with their eyes open and it was weird, you know? But then I'm thinking, does he do this in real life as well? But then I think Bonko has a very unique struggle, right? Because he is at the center of this epic love story, but he's a married man, right? And then all of these girls, I have seen the comments about Mkhele, and the girls are like saying all kinds of things. And like, I even noticed today that he deleted almost his entire Instagram images where there's images of him and his wife. So let me tell you something. Lirking, the Hlomo series in a level Kaldinya and so, right? It has like some like unhinged members that will go after, you know, people. Like, so I noticed that he deleted most of his Instagram pictures, and the only things that remain are things that, you know, say that he's an actor and he's Mkhwele, so to speak. So fine. And I think maybe like the fans of this show have been tormenting his wife in real life. So I could say it's not weird to me that somebody kisses somebody with their eyes open. But if it's weird to other people, could this be an ode to his wife to remind her that I'm just acting and this is an acting role? It's a question.
I don't know, it's not weird to me.
I won't lie. I've seen it before.
But the part about it being an ode to his wife, I'm not sure. Would they really? No, I don't know about that. Like, no.
These Hlomo readers are crazy.
They are. No, they definitely are. And I've been noticing, now what I noticed when Akiz is that he's been posting a lot of, well, I don't know about today and what happened on his Instagram page, but I've been noticing that he's been posting a lot and a lot more of his wife. And I thought it was to kind of remind everyone, as much as you are falling in love with the character, mm-hmm. As for me, myself, the actor, I am not available. I thought that's the message that he was sending. And yeah, unfortunately, I mean, look at us. We are pining over about David Beckham, Nabo Banban. Maybe I shouldn't go there because some people do take these things too far. All right, let me go to Foodie Travel Diary. Hello
guys. So thank you for the space and for the time. Oh my god, I'm feeling like I'm at a conference. Anyways, I come from like a background of abuse, not me personally, but you know, my parents, having lived through that and all of that. So I wanted to find out, like, from the other listeners, do you have like this inner conflict where you like Mkhwele but you want to hate him? I really want to hate this guy, but I can't. And you know, having come from a background knowing what abuse does to a woman, I have this conflict where I feel like, am I like self-loathing or, you know, that kind of thing. And this is the conflict that I have. I love the story. I love the books. And I'm not one of those people who are like, oh my God, you are deviating from the books. Oh my God. Horror, shock, all of that. I love the series in as much as I love the books. But my conflict is this. I would have liked for Hlomo and Naledi as well, for that matter, to have lived, because these men are psychotic. Is it just me?
Should I answer, Lelo? Should I say something?
Yes, sure.
I will say, as it pertains to, like, you know, the abuse in, like, the books, the abuse in the series, I'm always the first person to say, like, it's nothing that I personally can relate to. I had a very sheltered life and a very sheltered childhood, so I always let other people lead with this conversation, right? And I always say, like, whatever, like, struggle that other people go through, all that context, I only ever got it from Soul City, when Soul City was a thing. Right, I only ever got it from Soul City, and now I get it from like a couple of episodes of like certain series on Moja Love. So the abuse for me is something that I never want to personally talk about. It's nothing that I can relate to, and it's maybe not as triggering to me, but I always say, like, Dudu like betrayed all of us in how she humanized these people. you almost understand. You almost want to give them a pass. You almost want to. And I wonder, like, is this how, like, regular people that live in these kind of situations, like, you know, mitigate, you know, the struggle and, like, them staying? It's not as triggering as somebody that has ever been beaten. It's not. So I'm wondering, like,
sorry to interrupt. I can just say, for me, it is triggering. Like, I'm gonna bring in Uzalo. Forgive me, the people who don't like it. But as I watched Nosipho being battered, I was literally shaking physically. It is so triggering for me. Like, even watching those last few minutes of the 9th episode were so triggering for me. So it is very triggering.
All right. Thanks, Fudi. I think, yeah, Keith was saying from her perspective, but I do hear you. And I don't know if, Thobela, do you have a comment about the question Fudi asked, or you want to talk about something different?
Hi everybody. Thanks, Lelo, and thanks for creating this space. I have three points I want to touch on. The first one is the Mkhwele, you know, fandom that we all have. I'm a diehard Nkosana like fan, but I get the Mkhwele source. And Mkhwele versus the abuse thing is interesting to me, especially with these last few comments, because like the previous speaker said, I also come from an abusive situation in terms of childhood. And as an adult, because of that experience, because of the triggering, I'm so acutely, I don't even like people who joke about hitting, like if a guy, I don't, as a girlfriend, you can hit me, I won't even care. But if a guy like does something almost like abusive, I'm on it. And I'm like, no, I remember this so well because I'm on it. And I'm like, no, I remember this so well because I think we carry the abuse sometimes in our systems if it's something that you know from childhood. And I definitely only have like bad memories of my childhood. So it's so vivid in my memory that I'm not even willing to tolerate a bit of it. But you know what? I get Nkhwele. I get the source. I would have also fallen for him. I do believe that I would have chosen better, though. I don't know. The getting married part is quite stressful for me. I want to also touch on Umandisa and Nqoba. Like, guys, that is the theme for these three episodes. No ways. As a Xhosa woman, Mandisa is such a common... It's my mother's name, first of all. She has a common Xhosa name that we all have in all our hoods as Xhosa people. Her attitude, the way she dresses, her remarks, her sarcasm. Oh, my gosh. The fact that she has a child who is that old, is such a typical Gassi Xhosa story. It's probably also in other Gassis. But the way I appreciated Zikhona then humanizing herself in that bedroom scene, oh, my gosh, especially regarding a guy wanting sex but not wanting to address the fucking elephant in the fucking room. And you're like, dog, I'm still here after years. Can you just do the damn thing, like the basic minimum? I got her. I loved her. I understood her. And I'm thankful, you know, sometimes for the perspective of people who've read the book because I haven't. It helps to broaden, like, maybe some of the things that they're having to cut short, like the relationship with Nkhwele and Mthlomo. Even the fact that there's a speaker that spoke about Mandisa in the book comes across as really brash and she didn't get her until she saw her in the series. I understood that so well. And I think Uzikhona, honestly, I don't know, she deserves an award for this one. I also just want to touch on her uncle. They were so Xhosa. They were so on point. Like, I really felt like I was in a situation that I would be as Lalin Zameng Ngobo. And then the last thing I want to touch on, sorry for being long, guys. The production is so good. I want to talk about, even on the first episode, those free scenes, Power and Shomu, even Ngoba when he was going to get beat up. Those three scenes were so important. They really added value to the atmosphere. And I mean, I don't even have time to touch on how great Ngoba was in that first episode. We really are Ngoba. I don't know what character he played before that. He is Ngoba. That's the basic point. I don't know what else. Thanks so much, Lelo. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, Yano. I agree 100% with you. Hi, guys. Ngoba was just a star. And Ngoba and Sambu, look, guys, Sly, we now know his nickname is Sly. Oh, that guy is just Yeah, I'm really, really loving him. So, guys, after you've spoken, I'm going to take you back to being a listener just so we can keep track of who still needs to go. So can I go to Zama and then we'll go to Gadli after Zama?
Thank you, Lelo. I really, really enjoyed episode 7 to 9. And I know everybody's focusing on the abuse, but there's like small little nuggets that I also picked up on that I really enjoyed. The first one was that Usambulo is the one who has that sort of ancestral connection, which in the book it was Ukawe. So I actually thought it was quite cool because he's the one who's known as Untsangwini, but he's actually the one who's having these weird dreams. And they showed that part straight after we heard ukuthi uDlakadla is actually not who he says he is. So it was quite interesting that when the truth is unfolding, Le Mbumba, that this is somebody who actually is connected to their past, he wakes up and he's had this weird dream and everybody's obviously laughing about it, thinking ukuthi it's his weed smoking affecting him. So I really liked that and I'm excited to see how that unfolds, especially because...
Who had a dream? I missed that.
I'm joking. It was Usambulo. He had a dream about a seven-headed snake or something. And Kawe was laughing.
He was high.
No, he wasn't high. I don't think... We might say it was because he was high, but I think he's the one who has that gift. Because in the book, Ukawe actually was the one who had some sort of a gift and could see certain things. Or but I remember in the book, it was Ukawe. So it seems like in the series, it's actually going to be Usambulo. And I like that they chose Usambulo because a lot of people, just like Ukiz, is automatically think, ah, it's because of his weed smoking. But I'm really loving how they have these little nuggets which show how complex and how much more we're going to see of these characters. Like even the whole Dlakadla thing, I'm super excited about. Usambulo, I thought I was excited about him last week. Now I'm even more excited to find out, you know, his story because of that little nugget that they mentioned. And then in terms of the progression, yes, it's fast, but I think it's also in keeping with how quickly Uhlomo fell for this guy. I mean, we fell for this guy after like the first episode. So I think nakhona futhi how much Uhlomo has just like thrown herself into this relationship and, you know, really fell for this guy even after having been with someone for 7 years. But in the book, she actually, I think at this point, it was within 2 weeks of them actually having met. So I didn't really have much of a problem with how fast-paced the story is. I think it's just maybe sort of to overwhelm us, like how Uhlomo is overwhelmed by, you know, falling for this guy and everything that's happening. But what I did notice, this guy and everything that's happening, but... what I did notice was that in the first 3 episodes, there were a little bit of telltale signs. Then in the second batch of 3 episodes, there were red flags. And then in 7 and 8, Uhlomo was literally being shown and told by multiple people, ukuthi this guy is not right. The first person to actually tell her outright was the gentleman outside Engadin who told her something about a stray dog in, and that was the last batch of 3 episodes. Then this time, she saw for herself the dynamics in that house. People, like the emotional abuse, the verbal abuse with Umandisa and Ungoba in front of her, nanokuthi this happens in front of the kids, all of those things should have been like, oh my God, what am I getting myself into for her? But they weren't. She continued to be umakoti and she just... I don't know. I don't know what was going on in her head, but she did not see that. And Umandisa even went as far as saying, well, she was sitting next to Nkele. What Nkele, Zongshaya Yin. And then Ungoba defended her to Umqhele. And I was just thinking to myself, can she not see what is happening? Can she not see this? And then the whole thing about Uqhawe being a whiny what, I think it's just to add to that. It's just sort of like us being shown ukuthi, you know, there's somebody, this is the kind of person you deserve, somebody like this. But unfortunately, she still followed her heart and she chose umuntu who was not the right guy for her, I guess. But I'm really loving all these little details that they show and that they like keep doing. And I'm noticing a lot of them because like I'm obsessed and I've been watching like each episode like 4 times. But
yeah.
I mean, the production, the team, the director, the writers, everybody. Oh my God, these people love us, like siyathandwa guys, because it seems like they really thought of everything. Like even the first episode, I remember not the first episode,
I don't want to cut you off, but you can finish your thoughts. It's fine. I just wanted you to wrap up.
Yeah, sorry. Because I'm thinking even now last week when they had stabbed that guy in the office, the camera movement itself was like in keeping with how that guy was breathing. And I was like, oh my God, this is like amazing. Because it makes you sort of feel and really be as anxious as the character is. So, Njie, really big up to the producers, big up to everybody, the whole team involved. They're really, really giving us quality and amazing programming. Yeah.
It really is quality. Thank you so much, Zama. Uhlomo is stigmatized. She can't see a thing, so we will forgive her. I think, Kiz, you wanted to respond to Zama before I go to Gadli. I'm not even sure who's supposed to go next.
I did want to respond to Zama, but then now like I'm kind of like backtracking on like because I wanted to correct her in saying that it was actually Sambulo's son. The younger son, Sisekelo, I think, that had the calling or whatever and then could communicate with the grandfather and is the one that, like, could pick things up and whatever. So it was not Sambulo, right? And then it's not so much that Qhawe could see things or whatever. He just cared to do things traditionally and to slaughter things. And, you know, he's the one that got the family into that. But after listening to Zama, I'm starting to think, or maybe like are they planting seeds in these episodes? Because of course these episodes are not gonna look like the book verbatim, right? And when she's saying like, oh, Sambulo saw 7 hairs on a snake, da 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 da, whatever. Everyone was making a joke as though he was high, but then now after Zama's explanation, I'm thinking, are they planting a seed? Kore Sambulo is going to be the catalyst to them, like, connecting with their father. Like, so, yeah, I take back every thought that I had up until I heard Zama's explanation. I think they really are planting seeds.
Okay, thank you, Keith. And I don't know how many times you have to watch these episodes to see everything, because I missed that whole Sambulo thing you guys are talking about. I think Statamia Zesi, you are next, and then Katlego, or is it Katlego, and then you? My co-host, can you please help me keep track of who's raising their hands first, because I'm getting confused.
It's Katlego first.
Yes,
okay.
It's Katlego, and then there's a lady, Khotatso, that requested to speak next.
All right, thanks. I see Zesi has her hand up, so we'll go to Zesi, then Khotatso. After Katlego.
Hi, guys. Hi, I'm here. Kinsiki actually, like, I don't know how many times I had to run around trying to find network so I could speak in the space. But I have a couple of things to say. And before my network goes away again. So I found a lot of lighthearted moments in the past 3 episodes. I was actually annoyed at episode 5. I had a meltdown at 5 a.m. thinking, what are these people doing with the show? But as I watched episode 5 and 6, I came into it and I understood what they were doing. The previous week is right. You need to watch again to get some moments, which I don't know whether is frustrating. Because, I mean, how many people go and watch a show again for them to get the moment, you know? And then, I don't like Khawe being a sissy. And with Bonko, I just want to say, what an actor. You feel his every emotion. You know, when he's happy, you see it. When he's upset, you see it. And it's like in his eyes, it's in his movement, it's in the way he breathes, and I love that. And then there's Nkosana. I just want to understand why he keeps calling Okawe. In the scenes that he's with Okawe, he keeps calling Okawe Ngoba. He's done it twice. He did it at the taxi rank in the first episode, I think, and then he did it at Manisa's house in these past three episodes. And then also, I love that they're integrating the Majola brothers into the storyline. I thought it was irritating, but I get it now, because we do have to have like a parallel family or whatever, so we understand what's happening and the direction that they are taking us in. And then Langa is extra and very irritating to me. But I love that he brings these lighthearted moments into the whole thing. I loved that the kids were so natural with their reaction of asking Uti, you know, is it uAndi or uMalume? Because, I mean, yes, you know, we need to have more education about the LGBTQI community. But, you know, in a home like that, it's a question that would be asked. So for me, that was natural. And then there's the whole, can't they find Klomu friends? Like, can't they find Klomu, a Toby and a Nana? You know, couldn't they get two girls who will come in once in a while and play her friends? Because I don't understand where this Lerato thing is going. Also, Lerato is now coming in as Sambulo's girlfriend, and then she disappears. Like, she gives him food, she disappears. Where did she go? Where was she when Mandisa was there? You know, and then also Mandisa coming out, and she, we see it in her face, in her acting, you know, the intensity of the character, even though they try to make her quirky. So, yeah, that's what I have to say about these past three episodes. But I thoroughly enjoyed them. Yo, that was long. Sorry, guys.
No, it's okay. Thanks, Katli. I didn't think Lerato was Sambulo's girlfriend. I thought Uti Sambulo was just showing her to the kitchen where Shomu was. I may have been mistaken, but I didn't see her as Sambulo's girlfriend. But how she disappeared from the house was very weird, very weird.
Yeah, but who did she come? Okay, then who would they say she came with if they're not saying, you know, because, I mean, Sambulo bring her.
Shomu sent her the address. That's what I think. That's why she had an apron. Yeah. All right. Sorry, guys. I think. Okay. I think, is it Letty, is it Ashley, or is Zessie that's next? Keith, can I ask you to moderate or facilitate the next couple of minutes?
Okay, I want to ask, Khotatso, do you want to say anything? Because she had requested to be a speaker a while back. And then, if not, then...
I think it was a finger error.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, but I will say... It was a finger error, but I will say I am enjoying this. I haven't watched 7 to 9, so I'm using this as like a crypt note pre-watch thing. So thanks, guys.
Not a spoiler. Okay. I think Zessie's next.
Hi, guys. Hey, I hope you guys can hear me.
Yes, we can, ma'am.
We can hear you, Zessie.
Oh, okay. All right, okay. I'm really warming up to the telenovela. But my problem is the flow. It's still the flow. It doesn't make sense. I need them to make it flow and make it make sense, you know. But other than that, I love the humor. I love Mandisa and Ngoba. They are just killing those roles for me. Also, the authoritative Nkosana, you know, I'm loving it. But other than that, it's just the flow. It's the flow. I can't put more emphasis on that. I just need it to flow and make sense. Because to me, from what I've read, and I'm really trying to forget about what I've read, I just need it to make sense. Yeah, so that's what I needed to say.
Okay, then that's Letty. I think I love what Zesi said, and I think we have to come to a consensus, guys. The pace of the series cannot move at the same pace of, you know, the book and the series cannot move at the same pace. It was like over a decade, 12 years or something. I think the book ended with a 10-year wedding anniversary, if I'm not mistaken. So I think they're trying too hard sometimes. For me personally, I think the writers and the creators of this thing, they try too hard to retain as much from the book as they possibly can to create the series. And that is why it feels as if it's moving too fast, you know. Anyway, that's my two cents. I think Letty's next.
Okay. Hi, guys. I hope you can hear me. Yeah, I just wanted to touch base on what Zama said about everybody warning her about Mkhwele, because Kawe did say something about Mkhwele not being right for Tsomu, and like for her it was like it's a brotherly fight or whatsoever. So, basically everybody was warning her about Mkhwele. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to say, that even the family didn't, even, like, his brother didn't agree with the relationship, because he felt that Mkhwele wasn't good enough for Mfumo, you know. Yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
That brother was just speaking because yena ufuna uhlomo. It was not because of him being a good citizen and whatever else. So all right. Keith, back to you.
I'm dying to hear Kati's thoughts. I'm dying. Kati, can you speak now?
She just spoke, Keith, you missed her.
No, I did not, guys. Well, I will say, do we care to go through the episodes as, like one by one, right? Because each and every single episode has a theme. So do we care to do that? Do we care to talk about Mandisa and Mandisa's character and the lady portraying Mandisa? Do we care to, of course, by now, everyone that has been in these spaces for the past 3 weeks knows that Mpande is my personal favorite. Do we care to talk about the dynamic of Mpande and Mkotsi and Nziga, especially when they saw Lerato at the house? Like, I'm curious to know, like, do we want to unpack the episodes, like, theme for theme? And I think Neo wants to say something.
Look, okay, I'm going to start with Mpande and Koki. I think that little scene that they did have with Lerato, where they were describing chicken breasts and chicken thighs, but obviously referring to her, was in the true testament of them just being the chaotic three. Actually, I don't even know why they call them the chaotic three. You know Puanziga, he's just dying for his brother's sins. But I just do want to add, I do love how they're developing the different characters in each and every episode. And I think Mandisa is the one. You know, I think from the first episode, we always saw her as the crazy one, which I think we did expect. But there was a vulnerability that we were able to see with her when she had the scene with Ngoba in the bedroom, which I did not see coming. And that was such a beautiful portrayal of, I guess, how she was feeling. And the acting in that was absolutely amazing. And I think it was the first time we even saw maybe Ngoba might have a bit of a softer side, because, you know, we were hambage wa yokhuluma no Butomthala after that to, I guess, yeah, organize for them to go still Shaula, but I think he's married. So, again, that is another storyline that I actually want to see how that's actually going to develop, because I do think there's confusion about whether they just went and got the surname and whether they're married. Sambulo said that's your wife. The brother alluded to that. And he seemed to be confused. But Mandisa also at the bar was like, out lobolang. So, again, waiting to see how that will actually develop. I'm not going to talk about Kawe because it hurts me. I will move to Mkhwele, though, to say also his character has also, he has, throughout the series, he has gotten darker. You know, there's almost a softness that you see when he's with Somu, but then you see his darkness when it seems like the relationship is being threatened. And it's very scary. Look, I think he's doing it very well. Obviously, I guess we spoke about the abuse. There's a conflict there. I really want to hate him. But I think, you know, hey, he's being humanized, that there is a human with traumas and this is why he is doing ABCD. And that's not to excuse it. But I think that's real life, right? And I think I love the fact that the series is bringing that along so that those are conversations we can have about what trauma actually does do to people. That's all I had to add for now.
Okay, I think Gatti wants to say something, Gatti.
No, you said everything I wanted to say, actually, about Mandisa and Ngoba. I mean, I love those people from the first episode, if you remember correctly, for those who were there when we started the space. I love that Umandisa is not the Mandisa we thought she was in the book. Yes, she's intense, but, you know, there's this quirky side of her that they're bringing out in the series, which I thoroughly enjoy. And she's a brilliant actress. Ngoba as well, you know, he came out as this hard fashionista, you know, it looked like the only thing he cared about was his image and, you know, getting his taxis back, you know, he was hard, but with this episode, a softer side came out. We saw him loving Umandisa in his own way, you know, even though he wasn't outright about it, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. I love Abdul as an actor. And that's about it. I'm looking forward to seeing how they go with it. Oh, we can also see from there, we can also see how Mandisa's hatred for Tlomo starts. Because you hear things like, you know, when she asks, who is she? When she asks, are you guys doing things differently for her? You know, there's a build up there. And a build up I wish they had with all the other little storylines on the side so that we understand what's going on. But I'm thoroughly enjoying Ngoba and Mandisa. I'm done.
Please, can I just say something here? With Gatti is talking about the build up that she's enjoying. And I feel the same about, you know, the Majola storyline and how you can see which they're building something, you know, they're building up to something. When I saw what they were doing with the Majola guys, I was saying, how come they don't give us the same build up for the main characters? Isn't as well as we have. Look, I'm trying not to complain. Let me not complain. But I just wanted to say, on that note, it's exactly what I felt about the main actors, which can we just also get the same build up in terms of their storyline, just as we are getting with the Majola guys.
I agree with you in terms of all the other characters, you know, having that build up. And I just forgot what I wanted to say. But yeah.
To Lelo's point, we made a pact. The B word, there was a lady that says the pages. Like, we are not focusing on the pages. But I think also, for me, as I was reading the book, for me, Zandile was the most important book, right? Because it gave the most context about these people and who they are and where they come from and why they are the way they are, right? So we read an entire book with these crazy people and then we read another book and then it gave us a little bit more context. So I think it's like a double-edged sword. Like what comes first? You know, the chicken or the egg. But I'm enjoying that the characters that maybe did not get a main stage in the book, like Mpande. We only know Mpande through Zandile's eyes, really. But he now has like a bit more, there's so much more to his character. Mandisa, we all know Mandisa through other people's eyes and other people's, you know, the fact that she was crying, that, you know, Ngoba hadn't lobolad her, it was so like, you know, it gave us a different dynamic and a perspective of her. I really, really enjoy the fact that everything is happening backwards in the series than it did in the book. And with that, Tabiso has had her hand up for a while.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Tabiso.
I agree with what Ms. Neo said. I actually do think Nkhele has a lot of trauma. I think Nkhele has a deep fear of abandonment because of what he went through as a young kid. I mean, leaving home with all that conflict, you know, and everything. I just think in these episodes, we see that it gets triggered when Uhlomo doesn't answer his calls. I think that deep fear of abandonment is triggered because he doesn't know, he hasn't dealt with the trauma. He actually reacts in a violent manner. I think Uhlomo not answering Nkhele's calls, it did trigger that deep fear of abandonment because I think that he felt like Uhlomo is leaving her. I mean, he's leaving him or something like that. Yeah, that's just all I wanted to say. Thank you.
You know, Tabitha just reminded me of something. Is it just me? There was a point in time where Dudu had, like, on her website, she had, between the two trilogies of the books, she had a site, and then she would tell, she had a website, and then she would write stories about the background of each and every single one of those characters. Am I the only person that read those short stories? She had short stories about Nkhele's background, how he got the guitar, what happened with the guitar, his attachment to the guitar, the story about Mbande and Ngozi, the lady whose house they grew. Am I the only person that read those short stories? I'm just asking. Because what Tabiso is saying in terms of when Hlomo was not answering her phone, it triggered some kind of an abandonment in Nkhele. It triggered something that he had been through, and what she said reminded me of all the short stories that Dudu had written.
It could be Keys, or it could be that we are making excuses from Nkhele. I don't know.
Yeah. Did you read the short stories though? Am I crazy?
No,
I'm the only person that wrote those short stories.
I only read the books in January.
I also read them.
Like, sexual abuse, like, guys. But yeah, also Rato wants to say something.
Hi guys. I'm just laughing at Gati's tweet there about non Zulu speakers who can't pronounce the. It's always the tra tra tra. Anyway, thanks for the space, Lelo. This is my first space, so. Yeah, I'm a bit nervous, but asikolapo. I wanted to focus on the Mandisa storyline because I really enjoy how they are basically unpeeling Mandisa, because when she was introduced to us in that first episode where we saw her for the first time, she was fighting a girl at the tavern. So I'm assuming that it was a girl that she found in bed with Unqoba. And obviously, for us who have an insight to Mandisa, I won't mention the B word, we know her as that, as crazy, you know, and we didn't really care about her and how it ended for her on that other side. We were not really hurt because she was just like a crazy girl. So I actually enjoyed the fact that they're showing her heart and the human side of her, you know, like Shen side of her, you know, like she's just a girl, man. She just wants respect. She's been around for, assuming more than 8 years because they've had this child, they've been together. And as much as they have this toxic, relationship, but there's a deep love there, you know, they are playful and yeah, they tease each other, and there's that whole jealousy thing between them. Like Unqoba was jealous when she was speaking to that guy at the bar, so she had to even say to him, Guti, no, you must do right by me, you know, like you have to uklawulela umntana or to lobola me, you know. And the fact that she stood her ground and was not going to be disrespected, and she went to Home Affairs and changed the surname from Zulu back to her surname, because
Unqoba hadn't done things the correct way, and literally forcing this stubborn Zulu man to follow the right procedures and do right by her and her child. So I think I really enjoyed that part, and just seeing that other side of her and her being vulnerable and basically telling when Ngoba asked, so what must happen to me, and, you know, I guess relating to his erection, and he said, go, you'll give another put back or something like that. So I thought that was really funny. But also just showing him that you're not going to have me around and not do things right by me. So if it means that I have to cut out some privileges until you get things done right, I'm going to do that. And then also the confusion around whether Bashadilo or, you know, he lobolad or not. I think it's around the fact that they paid 80,000. And like Unkosana was saying that, but as Lobodi, why are you charging us so much? And, you know, the uncles gave their side of the story. So I guess it's a joke now, Guti. I mean, for that price, you might as well just should have married her. So I think maybe it's like that inside joke of the family, Guti, umshati, the type of thing, you know, because now Mandisa will pop, like someone said, she was already wearing, isn't those of Bumakoti, like they came here for the child, why are you dressed like that, you know? So, yeah, I enjoyed
that. How does your family dress you for Ubumakoti? I was so confused.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think, yeah, like that is maybe it's like a family inside joke, which they are basically married. So, yeah, I'm very interested to see how her storyline will unfold. And I think we're going to love her. But I also agree with Katli about Khomuni's new friends. Yeah, like she really needs other friends because this whole Lerato storyline, yeah, it's very flimsy. But yeah, I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thanks, Lerato. You had fun there with your first comment on your Twitter space, ne? It was really okay. Keys, over to you.
We lost a speaker, Umwangobo, like our Umafuze of the space. So if she's still in the space, please like request to speak again. I will say that Gatli had her hand raised like during a comment. So let's hear from Gatli, Zesi, and then of course Sedi.
I just wanted to say to Ulerato, I'm sitting with a non-Zulu speaker that calls my space Ituta Radio. So every time you guys say kawe or whatever, he's like, it's kawe or mkhele. So that's why I tweeted that. But also, I just wanted to comment on Keys. The short stories that you spoke about are actually everything that's written in Ikunga and Mess. For those who read those books, it comes out there. Characters come out there. They talk about their abuse or the sexual abuse they endured. You know, the journey that they went through as kids to get to where they are now. So that's all there for all those who read the five books. And that's all I have to say.
I haven't read Mess yet. Please don't ruin it for me. Like, so, do those books you only read when you're on leave, guys. Okay, so otherwise I'd be lying that I'm sick and I can't go to work.
You're going to see...
I know Zesi wanted to say something. Yeah?
You're going to see Mess on TV, girl. So, ask you.
No, I'm going to Bag and Books. So there's a sale. Yeah, Black Friday. I'm going to go buy them tomorrow. I haven't read Mess yet. I won't lie. Like, you have to be on leave to read Dudu's books, and I just haven't been on leave. Zesi wants to say something, and then Babalwa. Wait, Sedi.
I've completely forgotten what I wanted to say.
Okay, should we give Sedi a... Ah, is she gone? Sedi? Okay.
Another person can talk.
Yes, so there's a lady, Vovo, a.k.a.
Hi guys. Yes, that's me. Wow, guys, I'm traumatized by today's episode. I'm really traumatized, but I really enjoyed them on my side. Based on what Lerato was saying, why time the family kaMandisa bemgqokise impahla zobumakoti, but it's their family. I think they're trying to drive the fact that ukuthi bona ngamaXhosa, that's how they do things on their side. Not necessarily ukuthi kowenu you are given those clothes to wear, right? But it's just that they were trying to make even someone who does not understand the culture in some way, uthi now when we're talking about lobola mhlambe she's supposed to be doing this and that, because amaZulu uyaqoka nje just normal your clothes ingubo then ubese uyathwala ekhanda yabo. And I really felt for uMandisa when she cried, when she got also emotional in the bedroom. But I can really commend her for standing her ground, for really pushing until what she wanted happened. It's really admirable. Also, because as much as she fought, she was not so physical about it. She just showed Ngoba and his family, Uba, this is what is supposed to be happening. I've been quiet for too long. I've been letting you guys do things on your own. However, it's very funny how she's so jealous of Hlomo. Like, she's really jealous. She can't hide it. She doesn't know anything about her, but she's already so jealous. And I think because she's seeing the change in all of the guys, as much as that soft spot for me that they had in the book for her is not really showing as in yet. It's only Uqhawe that is so much soft for Hlomo, and Ke Umqhele obviously because he's in love with her as well. But the rest of them, they're just okay with her. I haven't even felt Nkosana's interaction or emotional interaction with Hlomo, or even the like all the guys. The only thing that I've seen is just that they are around, which is around, they just around, not interacting emotionally or anything. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Okay. I agree 100%. We keep losing Sedi. She keeps coming in and out. Sedi, please, in the meantime, let's then give Luyanda a chance to speak. But I also want us to explore the dynamic between Nkwele and Kawe. Like, you know, like the beef of the brothers over this girl. Who's wrong and who's right?
I'm grab Nkwele.
Everyone has a team. Are you Team Kawe, Team Kwele? Like, what's going on? Like, I want us to explore that, because this is something new that was not even in the book, right? So I'm curious to know everybody's thoughts about that. I tweeted earlier today to say that if Kawe had an opportunity, but Kawe would have respected Hlomo saying, I have a fiancé, and would have backed off. But Kwele didn't, and that's the difference between the two of them. But anyways, I think it's Luyanda that had their hand up.
Hi, everyone. I am going to be honest and say that I really struggled with this week's episodes, and I'm going to tell you why. Actually, I think it's because I recently read the book. I read Uthlomo over the weekend. So the one scene that I personally needed, and I know the show is inspired by, was when Uthlomo meets the kids, and like the way she forms a bond with them in terms of her taking them out to Spur, because I hope they're still going to maintain the fact that she takes the place of Umama to the kids. So I really hope that they still do that. I just don't know how, because I really needed to see that scene, because that's the start of their relationship and their development as the kids develop and grow. Secondly, I think I agreed. I think Kathy was the one who was talking about Lerato. Lerato coming to the house did not make sense for various reasons. First of all, it's an excellent imbi. So why are you calling me as your friend? Because of Pegisa. Please respect me. Like, that just didn't make sense. And also, if they're still going to carry on with the storyline of Lerato writing the book about the Zulu brothers, then Hlomo hating Lerato, how's that going to happen? I'm really curious to see how that's going to happen. Third of all, Kawe. Kawe, it's because I read the book, and I'll tell you why I'm feeling like this. It's because I read the book, because when Kawe confronted Hlomo, I was like, my Kawe wouldn't do this. Because
the way in which sister writes the book, you feel like you're part of it, like you're Osomu, like you are Osomu. You experience the highs and lows with her. So when Kara did that, I was like, this is not the Kara I know. Remembering from Naledi, I was like, this is not the Kara I know. And then to answer your question, Keys, I honestly think Kara should have taken, he should just take his L. Like, Umkele, as much as Kara met Osomu first, Umkele applied pressure and Umtoli Osomu. Like, Kara needs to take his L, Ngiyaxolisa, but please. And the one thing that I really enjoyed from these episodes was Mandisa's development and how, like, we saw so much of her. She's literally as chaotic as I need her to be, and I couldn't be more happier. And my last comment was be on Kele. I think it's episode 8, the scene where he's like, "Ngiyathemba ukuthi akekho ozokufonela ngofind my phone," or something like that. Guys, when I said I wanted to run on her behalf, like, I wanted to give her my legs and say, "Takama, this is a red flag." It's not even a red flag. It's an alarm. It's a siren. Koduka, balega. Honestly, if I could just whisper in her ear, because, and the way, like, the scene was so tense, and I was like, this is definitely the Mkhele that we know. This is definitely him showing how toxic he can be and everything else. But sure, I'm waiting to see how the stories, or the storyline kind of revolves next week and just, like, kind of resolves and see where it goes. But yeah, I really connecting with this week's episodes. I really connecting with this week's episodes.
Lelo, thoughts? I'm gonna ask Neo to speak because she's had her hand up for so long, Shem.
Yes. Okay. I think I want to add about the kids. I think Lou just spoke about that right now. And I think it's the disconnect in the story, which there's a couple. In that, you know, when the kid conversation came up, for example, about them going to boarding school, the way Somu brought it up and who she brought it up to was very odd. You know, it wasn't a conversation. It wasn't a suggestion. She was just like, "I'm putting the kids in boarding school." And I'm like, "Hey, bo, speak in Nila." You know, and I guess there are those, you know, funny things in the book, and I think, well, in the story, sorry. Whether you read it or not, that stuff will be there. And then, okay, Ulrato Anklangene, so I'm not gonna... I'm going to address the elephant in my room, which is Kawe and Mkhele. First of all, I do not know who this Kawe is. I do not know him. He is not my Kawe, because my Kawe does not behave in the way that he is behaving. There is nothing about this character that is just making sense. And I think that's the part that's just so annoying, you know? Because he keeps saying, "I was going to marry this girl." And we're like, "My guy, you met her once, you know?" And even that scene with Mkhele, yes, Mkhele is weird. But at the end of the day, he did the pursuit. He did what he needed to do. So I beg of the writers, wherever they are, can they kill the storyline of Kawe and Mkhele? They need to kill it, because we can't deal. Especially because of who Kawe is. Like, Mkhele Masiyake Bagit Basiyake. Let's kill the story. This was it this week. Astanda Zensi Faste until next week, Thursday. But from Thursday, we are done with this Kawe and Mkhele story.
It's never saying my Kawe for me.
Listen!
My Kawe.
My Kawe. This is not him.
When I was like reading him. The books, when I was reading the books, when I was reading, so, like, you read in the person's voice and then you can't embody their character, right? Okay, sharp. And then Zandile, you read her voice and then you hear what she says. Naledi, on the other hand, right? I'm Naledi and Kawe is my Kawe. So I completely understand what you're saying.
Yes, I don't know who this Kawe is. I don't know.
This is not our Kawe. Like, my Kawe wouldn't do this. I think Zesi wants to say
no.
Something.
No!
Okay, so I might be diverting a bit from our topic, but I'm starting to think that when season 3 comes, Naledi, they won't make Naledi be the one who falls in love with Kawe. I'm really starting to think that she's going to fall in love with one of the other brothers, just not Kawe.
Or maybe
don't say that. That is the only perfect love story in this situation.
Thank you. Take it back. Please. Take it back. Take it back.
Please, you're stressing me.
I'm guys, we have Sadie. Sadie wants to say something. Sadie.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello. You can hear me. Okay. First of all, this is not the cover we ordered. The personality trait of this cover is not it. I get it. Cover is just a team. Like, how are we supposed to fall in love with him and love him and have Naledi fall in love with this guy if he's crying about home? Like, for me, personally, I'm just like, nah, this is not it. He needs to take his L and keep it moving. And I also feel like if somehow he finds out that Mkhele Oshapile Somu next week, he's going to want to be a hero and it's going to end in tears. But I need the character development to move along now, because no, I don't like seeing our boy like that. It's not it. Also, the other thing that I enjoyed the episodes, but the one thing that, like, got on my nerves is that those kids didn't call Somu Mani. For me, it was just like, of all the things you guys want to cut and paste from the book to the show, at least let these kids call her Mani, because that's how we know Somu. But other than that, the episodes are great. Oh, and another thing about Sambulo. When you were talking about that dream about the snakes, for me, I looked at it as a warning about the Majolas coming in to swoop in somewhere to Mosha, because they're sort of planning how they're going to get back at the Zulus. So maybe that dream about the seven snakes and winking at him on something, maybe it's a sign of danger. But that's just me, though.
It definitely is a sign of danger. It's just that today when I'm on that serious about your payments and so what come with it. Oh, hi.
I so agree. Like, that is me. Like, the only criticism for me about this, like, third batch of episodes is the fact that they didn't call Somu Mani. And right. Because through the books, I'm getting they call all the women like a variation ya mother, right? So Somu ya mother, right? So Somu ke mami, Koli ke mamiza, and then mama I think ke Zandile's ma, and then I think Gugu's mama. Like I that is the only thing like that is so sentimental is for them to have called Somu mami. I agree.
Yes, they should have, yo. Keith, when we started this space and we spoke about separating the book from the series, you were telling us about how happy you are that they are going on a different direction and telling us a new story. So who is this Zandile that you are talking about? Because now, as a viewer, I have not been introduced to any Zandile. So please, man.
This will always come by us, but hekere, like the story arc, I said the template in my defense. I said there's a template, there's an arc, and the arc and the template is these eight hooligans and the woman at the center of them, whose name Kimami. Anyways, guys, okay, let's give is it a Kuhula? I can't pronounce this name. I don't want to be disrespectful. I think it's Kuhula and then Zwo.
I don't know if you're talking about me. I know my name is difficult. It's Libuani. It's Venda.
I don't want to be disrespectful.
No, you're not the only one. So, yeah, so that's my name. It's difficult. It's Libuani, Lebohang, basically. So, yeah. So now, with me, as you were saying, Kizne, with the book, I did read the chapters that you were talking about in Dudu's website. And in the last chapter, it's of Mkhele. He's with a psychiatrist, sort of. And then there, we get a background about him. And then there,
the way he describes his relationship with Gawi, that's what, it's so beautiful because he tells us when he was cheating, Gawi was the one that asked him, are you willing to lose Klumo in case that she finds out? And then,
did we lose Lerato?
No, she's still here. She's still here. I think. Okay, there she goes. Unmute yourself, my love. Sorry about that.
Oh, sorry. So yeah, the way he talks about how Gawi says, you know, you put Klumo in a pedestal, and then that's why you overreact. Oh, guys, sorry. My child is gonna make noise, so I'll come back later.
Okay, no worries. All right, Keys, I see we have got a new speakers here. We've got Tanya. Tanya, would you like to go? Mshagaza, Tanya.
Hi. Yeah, hi. So, guys, I'm going to please ask you a lady when she said, Okawa is not the Okawa we ordered. No shame, guys, I'm satisfied with Kawe. Kihori, I'm over obsessed. The problem is one thing with Kawe. Yo. Kawe ngatun entlizio enkulu. Unyabile. Anje weapet anje ku Kawe. Mara, he's the one for that. Say, yo. Unyabile Kawe. Then kube umkele. Yo, umkele. Uncle and young Kapugisa. What's in the gum bed? Uncle, you uncle as a gumba bagazada. Now you're calling a personality too down to Edda. I never told your sister to ask Mulala Gabantu Baki. Okay, on a serious note, Lomfanalo. Oputga so money. We're arriving, yeah, I can. Is today been funding what again? No, I don't find arriving the same as in the book, but then sizonyamezela ngoba sazi sizothini, guys. I'm just watching for the sake of Jebisa Meso. But I'm not so impressed, really not impressed, Shem.
Tanya, you send me your address so I can come give you a hug, like, yo, girl, thank you.
Tanya's going through all of it. Wakawisa.
No, hi, Shem. Ask you, Siman. No, Luvo.
I feel Tanya's heart right now. Yes, we are thinking hug. Because if you're looking at how they're doing it now on the telenovela, or on the story, there's so much of the blind spots, man. There's so much of blind spots, and also by like the episodes are like 20 minutes, 25 minutes. How God one go see I'm such a short time. And also another thing that I took note of, Uguti, the kids became a bit disrespectful kulang, ne? I'm not sure which one said, where lang? And none of them said anything. None of them reprimanded them. It was Ulanga that took that very lightly and took them with Uyamo. And also, the interaction with Uhlomo and Umkhele, based on the fact that Umkhele was like, you never told me that your brother is. Umkhele was like, you never told me that your brother is doing that. Mm-hmm. Like, it was not really giving him. She was not able to stand for herself. Kandu Somi somehow she was able to stand for herself in the book, as much as she was fragile and soft and bullied a bit by Umkhele. And what's another part again? And the part where, hey Ukawe man, hey Ukawe man, mkrapil omkrapu putuake, and that's mkrapa. Yo, Xena, I wanted him to krapa him again. I even did a story on Instagram. When you get on set, today, please. Because, like, really. But the coward that is there is not the so chilled one, the so... The loving one, the soft one. On the other hand, Usambulo is bringing out something so beautiful. His character is very deep than what we see. If you notice, he's always the one who's seeing things unseen. Even with the dream that he came with, he's always the one who's closing gaps. Without even saying anything, he's just phenomenal, man. He's something else. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I think I won't even mention the B word again, but I think we've kind of figured out, Dubuti, that's the only way for us to not complain. Vatiswa, do you wanna comment?
I wanted to say that Unta. I still want a character Sambulo to grow, she doesn't speak literally. Okay, he does, ne? But then, when Shlomo wasn't answering the phone and Umkhelebeka outside smoking, and Sambulo asked him, Guti, Win is he all right or something? And then akayizanga next ngayo umana wamyekela nje ukuthi he didn't dig deep ba uright yini ngoba he can see that he's bothered, but then akamnanganga. So I'm wondering what are they going to do if they find out ukuthi uqhele beat up Hlomo and Sambulo saw that bekangakho right. And it's just a lot, man. Ngaso Sambulo ikhuli character yakhe ayeku thula. He's so quiet for my liking.
Yeah, I think he's that's exactly how they created that character, ukuthi abe that silent assassin, you know. He doesn't say a lot of things, but when it comes to actions, he just does the job. And I think them having Sambulo in that, you know, scene where Umkhele was trying to get hold of Hlomo, there was something about him being there that I think they wanted us to get scared, because I guess to build up that, you know, fear of what's going to happen, because we know how Sambulo gets and all of that. So, yeah, that was really scary. I want to go to Nozipo, and then we'll come to the other guys.
Yeah, hi, guys. I wanted to speak on behalf of people that haven't actually read the book, because I haven't. I'm just a viewer at the moment. But the whole answer what Neo said about them having to kill the feud between the brothers, Kawe and Umkhele. I feel like, honestly, it was like more of a character development, because from my point of view, I could tell that Umkhele is not going to be a great character from beginning. Like, I felt like he's got a lot of issues. From just seeing how he sort of bypassed what his brother told him about him seeing a very beautiful girl that he wants to pursue or whatever, and him actually going for her, even though he knew, you know. But I feel like because it is just done so quickly, we couldn't actually tell where everything is going to, like, you know, how everything is going to turn out. But yeah, man, I feel like it was important for character development so that we know Hore, what kind of guy is Mkhele going to, like, be, and what kind of guy is Ukawi. I don't know if I make sense, but I feel like from a viewer's point of view, just a person who hasn't read the book yet.
No, you are making perfect sense. You're making perfect sense. There's one point that I wanted to make about Nkosana. I think it was in response to Noluvo. Someone said something about you know, what you know, Sambulo hearing or seeing that Hlomo was not answering the phone and all of that, and how that, you know, got us worried about what would happen. There was something that Nkosana said to Ngoba when Ngoba was calling Mandisa a witch or something like that, and Ngoba and Nkosana said, "Wuti, don't talk about her like that." she's the mother of your child. It for me it just said something about, you know, his views or how he teaches his brothers about treating women, which also made me think about what is their reaction going to be when they find out ukuthi ulona beat up uHlomo. So I thought that was an important moment, just establishing how they feel about women and respecting them and so on. Shame, I was really stressing about uNkosana. Those boys, he just wants peace. And one thing I'm glad about in these last three episodes is that he did not slap anyone, because this thing of him hitting people was just not on. But anyway, there are other people that would like to speak. I'm not sure, is it you, Lerato, or Lerato?
I think it's Kolani. Kolani. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Kolani, and then we'll come to you, Lerato, after.
Hey, Kolani, let's get a poor culture.
Okay.
Let's go to Lerato.
Lerato, yeah.
We'll go to Kolani after.
Okay, cool. I was just thinking now, when the writers were sitting and planning, you know, how they're going to script every episode, and also thinking about where we are as a country with GBV and how TV, as much as it's entertainment, they also have to be responsible in how they portray the message. Sorry. So I'm hoping that in the storyline they will introduce dealing with all these, because we can see the brothers maybe it's suffering from mental issues, you know, like the whole GBV issues and abandonment issues and all of that. Hopefully in the storyline they've thought about maybe uMkhayele going to see a therapist or whatever, because as much as, yes, they're following a template or following the book, but there is a certain responsibility. Ooh, my voice. There's a certain responsibility that they have to portray, and actually for it to be educational, you know, teaching men out there that, you know, if you're dealing with childhood trauma and this is how you take your anger out by beating up a woman, this is what you do to get help. You know, I hope they don't leave it hanging, because they have that certain responsibility to also educate. And, you know, like the same way someone said, why didn't Hlomo see the red flags? Unfortunately, there are women who are in those situations where they see the red flags, but, you know, because you're so in love or whatever it is, you stay in that relationship. So I really hope they explore that side of television/education and, yeah, just showing that side. Yes, it's not in that other thing, but it would be nice to see it play out on TV as well. Thanks.
Can I just make a comment to what Lerato just said? I once read somewhere that art doesn't have to be right. It just has to be honest, right? So if we are living in, like, a place and a world where, like, there's gender-based violence, it's, like, rampant, and, like, you know, people not dealing with, like, mental health issues, and it's not always art's responsibility to respond to that. The responsibility of art is to reflect the world and society as it is, right? So I don't always put too much pressure on, like a series or like a book, for instance, or whatever, in order to address certain things. It would be nice. It would be great. Let's do that. But I don't think, and that's why we had, like, you know, shows like Soul City. Somebody needs to bring Soul City back, guys. For real. Like, I learned about so much about Soul City. But there's a genre that should be dedicated to addressing social ills. And I don't think sometimes, like, a series and, like, things like that should have that responsibility, because then they're not being honest. So for me, art doesn't always have to be right. It just has to be honest. I think Abba wants to say something. I don't know if anyone agrees. Please feel free. I stand to be corrected at all times.
I agree with you, Keith, because when Lerato was speaking, I was just thinking about whether I want to see that. Yes, I know it brings up, you know, it brings up the debates. I think the conversations outside of the show, then that's the space where we can have those conversations. But I don't think I want to see that educational content everywhere. I agree with you in saying that there has to be shows that cater for it. Look, where they can, fine. But already we are complaining about, you know, them going off the rails. So can you imagine now how about Seba Bosi's Dolly? Yo, Golani, let's come to you.
We have much love for that, guys.
I'm not sure what happened. I think I requested by mistake.
Okay. So there's a wife material, okay? Nongu.
How did I quickly get to speak? So hello, everyone. No, I wanted to agree with you on the whole art thing. I think it's very difficult for art to be portrayed as art when we also have to be dealing with social ills at the same time. But obviously, I think the other biggest challenge is that it's airing at a time when there's the whole 16 days of activism. But I do think that for them to actually even put up the whole, if you are going through a gender-based violence, what do they call them, the thing they put at the end was quite good, because then it also says that, you know, there are platforms that you can actually visit in order for you to be able to report such things. So it's not necessarily saying that, oh, okay, this is a good thing, whatever, but they've put contingency plans in place for them to actually do that. And also, as a person who did not read the book, I got a shock. I was like, no. I was still happy, and then you just took my joy away. Why?
So
that's really, I was really sad. I'm not
going
to lie.
Kuzolunga, hang in there. So, guys, I would like us to wrap up in the next 15 minutes. We've been going for over an hour and a half now. So can we go to the last couple of speakers? Lumka.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much. I think I wanted to say to say the same thing the last speaker has just said now, that it means that the writers are also present for them to be able to air this episode on this day when the 16 days of activism is starting, and also giving the numbers at the end for people to call the Gender Based Violence Command Center. But guys, there's Mandisa. I don't know if you spoke about Mandisa. Mandisa, the afternoon Mandisa, you know, and yes, and you know, the actress herself, you know, plays Mandisa so well, and she goes out and gets what she wants, and I also found that there's a level of responsibility, you know, of the family. They keep each other in check. They may not get things, you know, right all the time, but kukhona la responsibility that, you know, ba kuthiwa izakwenziwa into, they go out and they do it. And it may not have been about Mandisa, but about the child. But I also felt that was quite profound of Nkosana to lead and whatever Mandisa and her men have, they still accept and they want the child to belong somewhere. Yeah.
Thank you for that, Lumka. Gugu, I see you. Your mic is on.
Hi, guys. Well, it's my first time in the space. I just wanted to ask, for those who haven't read the books and are watching the series now, is it actually making sense for you guys? Because especially that scene where Klumu says to Mkhwele that she's taking the kids into boarding school, when she wasn't introduced to them and they're not Mkhwele's kids. How was that for you guys? How did you guys receive that? Because it was a bit weird.
best question in Tasia. Best.
Okay.
To me, it wasn't weird. I mean, like, when you have context of the book, which is always so unfair, I actually enjoy listening to the opinions of people that didn't read the book. But if you read the books, you get it, and it makes sense, and it's fine. So for me, it wasn't weird. I mean, Somu didn't even get a proper introduction. We spoke ad nauseam about that hospital scene. Where was the formal introduction? Why was Nkosana there? And, you know, I think we've reached a consensus that they are trying to condense way too much that was in the book into these CVCs. They're trying to make, you know, things that were, like, are intangible, tangible. They're trying to, you know, put, like, nuance into action, and it's not easy. But for me, when Somu said that and Kale's reaction, it completely made sense to me. I got it. But I think I have the unfair advantage of having read the book. And I think to Lelo's point, we need to wrap up in the next 15 minutes. And then, so let's hear what Dinangwe has to say. And then I think we have one last speaker, which is Dark Bo. Okay, Dinangwe.
Hi guys, thank you so much for accepting. I know I just got in the chat. I am enjoying this series so much. I've never read the books, but I have friends who have actually told me about the book. Obviously, when you have people telling you about the book, they're not going to be consistent, and they're not going to tell you exactly what is happening, but they give you like a brief of what exactly is going on. And I am enjoying every little bit. I haven't watched the 3 episodes. I'm actually gonna, well, the latest ones, I'm actually gonna watch them like this weekend when I have time. I have a baby, so I never have time. I have a toddler, so I never get time. So the only time that I get, that's when I'm able to just concentrate on everything that I can concentrate on. But I am having the time of my life with this storyline. It is amazing. Gogo has done an amazing job. I'm glad I haven't read the book, because maybe I would have seen things that I don't like. But I love everything that's going on, and I'm enjoying the characters as well. And I'm not going to speak much about what she has asked, because I haven't watched the latest 3 episodes. So, yeah, thank you so much for accepting me and allowing me to speak about this. Thank you.
Honestly, you come in to listen and you haven't watched, so you don't mind us spoiling it for you.
I just saw Somu the wife and I was like, no, I need to speak about this, because the first 6 episodes have taken something out of me. I'm like, I don't know, I'm out of the moon. I'm in another zone. And I was actually, when I watched the first 6, I was like, why haven't they put in like the whole book? And I've seen everything like at once.
I thought about that. I was saying, Ubuti, I was thinking about this show should have been on Netflix, because then we would have gotten all these episodes. But then if it was on Netflix, then we would have gotten like 10, 15 episodes, and then we have to wait a whole year to get another season. So I don't know actually what I would have preferred. I want to give an opportunity to the last couple of guys, no Zipo, and then there's no Ku, and then we'll go to Nchaupe.
Oh, yeah. I'm speaking on behalf of people that haven't read the book, and are like just viewers at the moment. Nafona, so far, I'm really enjoying it. Of course, there are gaps here and there that I feel like, okay, then what happened here, you know? But so far, it's very refreshing. I find Somu very relatable
Her character really, really, like, speaks to me. And, yeah, man, so far so good. I'm yet to read the books. So, yeah, I think I might just be investing in them these holidays.
Yeah, Nozipo, you're so right. Umbalentle, she is the actress who plays Shomu. She is really doing a good job. And if you are wanting to buy the books, good luck with finding them because they are sold out. Like, so yeah, all the best. We're trying to get. And me, I'm not giving anyone my copy.
Hi, guys, so please resell. Please resell, guys, whoever has DM me.
All right.
I don't mind.
Let me go to
pre-owned.
We'll think about it, Nozipo. We'll think about it.
All right.
Nonku.
Hi, guys. So I haven't also read the book, but I've borrowed from friends. So Nozipo, you might try borrowing from your friends. But for me, I actually got interested in reading the books after watching the first three episodes. I remember back then when everyone was like so hyped with the books, I was very interested. But once I started watching the series, I was like, you know what, I want to get to know what's happening. But one of the things that I'm like, so what I do, I watch the series and I read the books. I think the transitions in the series are actually quite weird because we could have actually been introduced, like, Shumi could have been introduced to the kids, or we could have been introduced, who are these kids? Then having that episode of that young one coming in on his own, maybe, yeah, they could have used that episode or that scene as an introduction of all the kids and who do they belong to. But also, I love Langa, to be honest. I think there was a good casting, hundreds on them, because when you read the book, you're like, this is what Langa was supposed to be. I know there was a bit of people like, Langa, they're not very hundreds with them. But I actually like him. And I think I'm expecting to almost go long goals as he speaks all the time. But that's exactly what he is in the book. That gay cousin or gay brother who's actually really fun. So, yeah, but I'm enjoying it so far. Yeah, thanks, ladies and gents.
Nonku, on Langa, I just feel like I'm not feeling the chemistry between the two people because they're supposed to be twins. So, you know what? We'll give it time and see how it goes. We'll give it time and see.
Yeah, see what time does. Yeah. But I think he's like, he's not acting. I would say he's being himself while acting. Like, there's not much there's not much of him trying too hard to act like Langa. So, well, let's see how it goes.
Yeah, I'm not yet feeling that character. Nchaupe, and then we go to Keys and Neo.
Yeah, yes, how's it, everybody? But he saved the best for last. So,
yes.
All right, so I agree with Lelo. I feel like there's no chemistry between Shomu and Ulanga. Langa in the books, he came across as someone that's overprotective, you know. This one, Ngari is only after the money, you know. But other than that, I feel like the book, the series, I'm really enjoying it. So I was talking to somebody else offline that, yo, Ngari, I need to go rewatch some of the episodes because of some of the views that some of you guys have been talking about, and it feels like you guys will discuss that paper too. Yeah, me tricky, cause like you guys can analyze it to the T. But then also, you know, business have wonder what happened to it. So I feel like most of these guys, they've went into retirement or barrelexies, you know. So the money at the heist, we last saw the 3.5 million. Nothing's been done, you know, the taxis, no one is going to work. And if I'm not mistaken, Shomu's person used to wake up very early to go, like Ailo Renka, you know, but now he just wakes up early, looks at her and nothing happens. They don't tell us what he does, you know, but like, I think it's small things. Other than that, I think, they do tell us the other sides, you know, like Womandisa and everybody else, because the book, it's all about Shomu and what she's going through and nothing else. So, yeah, next week, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, Chape. And I actually did think about the fact that Batuba Baberekaning, when they're always chilling or doing whatever, they won, you know, the king dethroned Bomachola, next thing, Sedeselendlini, Waya Waya. And then as I was thinking about that, they then showed that scene of Nkosana speaking to Ngoba in the taxi, and they were at the rank. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to talk about this. Let me keep quiet. So guys, we've been running for so long. I'm going to hand over to Keys and Neo to just share their last thoughts before we wrap up.
Okay, I'll be quick, guys. Please, these are not just taxi drivers. I'm getting taxi owners. Okay, so them being korengeng is just, you know, courtesy. And they give them envelopes and say, thank you for your services. I got rewarded in Kwasana last week. So please respect the Zulu brothers. They're not just taxi drivers. They're taxi owners. But I'll be very brief. I think everyone has said everything that can possibly be said about these past three episodes. This has been my favorite set of three episodes. And the star of these episodes for me, definitely Mandisa. Definitely Langa. I think to Lelo's point and Chaupe's point about there not being any chemistry between Langa and Lehlomo, I saw Langa's on Instagram, right? So he's a TikTok sensation, right? And he had said this is his first acting gig. And I think it shows. I think it shows Hore. He's, you know, so he doesn't pay attention to like small details like eye contact and this and that, you know, like Bonko described in detail how he got to be Mkhwele. He himself in real life woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and, you know, kept himself busy and would smoke more than he would normally and would play the guitar. Like he really is like a method actor. I'm bummed we didn't discuss the scene or the breakfast scene between Mkhwele and Lekhawe, where Mkhwele is just so arrogant as he's chewing, he's eating his food. It's literally for me like, we know Mkhwele is arrogant, right? We know, but to see it, to see how he's chewing his food and addressing his brother after he stole this girl from him, like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. So yeah, but yeah, that's all I have to say just to wrap up this week's episode. And then we'll talk about it next week.
We didn't discuss that scene when our kids, because I was disgusted at how arrogant that Mkhwele boy is. Umborile Mkhwele. Nekile happy lina ba mo shapa ka face. Yes, sis. Neo, over to you.
Hey, yeah, Mkhwele. Look, we can hand it to him. He is handing us everything about this character. Look, in terms of Langa, I think the chemistry this of episodes was better, but still not there. But, you know, yeah, it is what it is. We'll get over it. What I do want to say, though, is I do think that how they are writing the series is leveling the playing field, whether you've read the book or not, because I think we all don't know what's going to happen in the next three episodes. And that's exciting. Because, you know, we'll all see everything for the first time. We're seeing the development of the characters. Look, Mkhwele, Ngoba, Sambulo, Mandisa, they are bringing it. I think everybody else is, but, you know, I think in all these three episodes, there's always those guys that are, you know, really getting into their characters. And I'm excited to see how we build with everyone else. And we get to see, hopefully, more of Sambulo, because he's another one. He's literally simmering. And it will be very exciting to see what the next couple of episodes do bring. But yeah, those are my parting shots. We are finally at a point where whether you read the book or you didn't, we don't really know what's going to happen. And that's very exciting. So yeah, see you guys next week.
Thank you, Neo. You are so right. We all don't know what's going to happen next week. So guys, really thank you so much for joining the space. Thank you for sharing. Let's do it again next week. Hopefully we are excited. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.